gets weird and pissed off, whatever it is.
She just goes a little mad sometimes. We all go a little mad sometimes.
Game over, man! Game over!
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
You are invited to an open house where horror will be your host.
Don't fall asleep.
We're talking ghost stories today, and Liz is busy looking for ghosts in my kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
What have you bought?
Well, it's your Christmas present.
It's my birthday present.
That's that too.
I do have a bit of a God complex, but I was not born at Christmas.
It's part of your birthday present. Happy birthday, old man.
Thank you. Get off my lawn.
Oh, my Lord. Yes, I got you a couple of little knickknacks for your birthday, and I got you your very own, so you can get ready for your ghost hunting, I got you your very own, my first EMF recorder.
Yay.
Woo!
For people playing at home, it's actually a wall stud finder, which picks up on electrical cables.
Wall stud finder.
It is, but it's also an EMF reader, which is super cool. The only problem is you actually have to touch the ghost in order for it to work.
That's all right. As we finally get out on the road, you're going to find out the ghosts are more than happy to touch you.
Oh, I went to a Catholic school. There was lots of ghosts there.
Oh, but this is good. So you got it. You went straight away around the house, and then Jack the dog started like barking at nothing. So Lou was like, quick, get the EMF reader. I'll prove to you that he's not insane. He's actually seeing ghosts and he's saving us from poltergeists.
There was nothing. He's just an old dog with dementia. That's all right.
Oh, it's also good. It will detect radiation. So, come the end of the world.
Electromagnetic radiation.
Well, yes, yeah. If that's what they use.
I think that's different to...
It's not like Chernobyl radiation.
Yeah.
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 But you never know the weird shit that they're inventing. You're like, oh, no.
That is true.
It's like the electromagnetic...
Boogaloo. The electro boogaloo is how we're going to defeat Russia.
So, you've got that. You're on your way.
Yeah.
I've also given you like a face shield.
Yes, you gave me a resuscitation face shield, an expired bottle of Sting go-away spray for when I get bitten by one of the many animals that will not kill you in this country.
Oh, my God, you're so soft. Just for that, They're going to make an exception.
They will, yeah.
When you get your first ghost love bite, You just put a bit of spray on it.
Having said that, I got a cut on my leg from working on the old hot rod I've got.
Mm.
And it is wildly infected, like some crazy tetanus shit going on.
Oh, my God. See, that's why you got to have your first aid kit prepped, ready to go.
Yeah.
I've got everything for the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I've even got a couple of like little towelettes that are like they're towelettes of soap. So that when you got to like wash the entrails off your hands, you can still be like, oh, like a gentleman in the apocalypse.
Are you going to be that one person? So while everyone else is off getting penicillin and stuff like that from vet clinics, you're going to set foot in KFC for the first time in what, 15 years as a vegan to get all their moist towelettes?
See, everyone is like, and it's not just a moist towelette because there's soap in there. It's not just about making it wet. There's actual soap, so it's hygienic as well. Everyone makes fun of the moist towelettes.
Yeah.
6 months in the Australian heat without bath, shower, or just the niceties of life, You will be giving blowjobs for a moist towelette.
And then you'll have to use the moist towelette.
Just to wipe away the shame.
Yeah.
And then the cycle repeats.
No! That's the post-apocalyptic poker machine.
Oh, my God. That's like I told you, I was watching, I think it was one of the early episodes of, it was the show that was competing against The Walking Dead. Is it... with the world, no, not World War Z, Z Nation,
yeah, yes. I never saw that.
Yes. So they stumbled upon this one bit, and of course it's just usual dickhead dudes.
Yeah.
And they were like pimping out ladies.
How else are you supposed to survive the apocalypse?
Oh, God. Get a trade, all right? Get a trade.
Pimp is a trade.
Anyway, shut up.
Pimping ain't easy, bitch.
Well, it is if you're this dude, because okay. Then when, you know, like the dirty dudes would show up with their wangs out to be like, meh, the pimps would like just run in and like kill them, and then everybody would eat them, okay? So, but I just, it stuck in my head because, you know, so these dudes were just showing up with, because obviously, you know, like to trade what you can get a little bit of punani for.
Oh.
You know, so the guys show up going, oh, look, you know, I've got, like this bottle of penicillin. Can I trade this for a three-way, you know?
Now that's a gamble.
Yeah.
It really is.
If ever you're going to need the penicillin.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the next guy is like, oh, look, you know, like I've got a magazine load for like, you know, for the 9mm. Can I get a blowjob for this? You know, it's that kind of bartering.
Yeah.
This one guy shows up and basically he's and frankly, because, you know, you're like, oh, this is boo. You shouldn't be killing other human beings to survive in the apocalypse, right? That's just wrong. Except for this guy who basically showed up and expected to get a root with two Panadol.
Really?
I was so offended for that lady.
What is he, the school nurse?
I just wanted to be like, value yourself, young lady. I don't even care if it's a fake trap to lure in men. You should still demand more for your punani than two Panadol.
I don't know what Panadol is in the States. I think it might be Tylenol.
Paracetamol.
It's paracetamol tablets. Yeah.
Yeah, Tylenol. Is that, or is that a company that creates robots?
I don't know.
No, that's Tyrell.
Oh, fucking hell.
Is it? I don't. Yeah. The thing that makes your headaches go away that's not crack cocaine.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Our cultural references are so broken.
Basically, if you're a lady and you go to the hospital, it doesn't matter if you've like just given birth or you've had a hysterectomy, they'll tell you to take two of these and go home.
Not just ladies. I got given that for a broken back.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because they thought I was doctor shopping. They thought I was after what's it called? OxyContin.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you're not having any of the good stuff. Gave me paracetamol, then waited for like 9 hours and came back. And they're like, let's just take your blood pressure. And it was like so high. They're like, oh, you're in real pain.
Yeah.
I was like, fucking yeah, I am.
God damn it. Oh, my God. I once accidentally went to a private hospital.
Yeah.
Only because the accident that happened literally happened at the front doors of their emergency.
Yeah.
There was a cycling accident. Broke my finger, ripped out the fingernail.
Yeah.
Literally at the – I pretty much just rolled into the foyer.
Yeah.
You know, and I was just like, oh, my bent finger. Like, okay, can I – like maybe – and they're like, oh, you know, like do you have like private health insurance? And I'm like, oh, no, it's just a sort of like emergency. And they're like, oh, you have to go to like public. And I'm like, okay – do you know when the bus comes?
Oh.
And meanwhile, my finger was just skirted, like spurting blood at them.
Yeah.
And I think like one of the nurses felt like really bad for me. And she was like, oh, you know, just wait there for a minute. Just wait there.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, getting dizzy. But so I just waited there. And then she came and she took me through out the back to this like very unhappy looking doctor.
Oh.
He was so not happy.
Oh, you pushed him at least half an hour away from his next Porsche.
Oh, my God. Not even that. The nurses had clearly guilt. Look, I was also young at this stage, you know. So I was like, I'm a baby. So they take me out the back and he's just all like, ugh. And he just writes a prescription and the lady, the nurses, you know, bandaged up my finger, do the real work. So they do that. And then so he wrote me a prescription and it was supposed to be like take two every 4 hours and they actually gave me the pills. So it was this like hardcore like – seeing shit kind of, you know, you don't get on the PBS. It was like proper, you know, Michael Jackson medication.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah.
But the guy was in such like a fucking hurry to like get me out of there. And when he actually gave me like the thing for the pills.
The script.
Yeah. he actually said, he's like, yeah, so, you know, like, don't tell your friends because this is not something that we would normally do, you know, if you don't have private, you know, and just this real kind of like, yeah, I'm not going to be like on the, you know, on the Instagram, man, like, oh my God, life hack.
Found a doctor who'll treat me in an emergency.
Yeah, I literally just rolled in, dude. Like, for fuck's sake. Yeah. Anyway, so he was in such a hurry to get out of there. Instead of saying, like, take two every 4 hours, he had written take four every 2 hours.
Oh, no.
So that's what I did. And the reason that we know about it is apparently, I can't remember it, at some stage I got a phone call from someone and I was telling them about the bunny rabbits, the hundreds of bunny rabbits that were just like hopping all around my apartment. And they're like, yeah.
That's great.
And, so I was like slowly overdosing myself. So, yeah, there we go. Good shit.
Good shit.
Good shit. But you know what? That's just one of the things that happens when you go off the beaten track.
Yeah.
And you know what's so weird?
What's that?
Talking about going off the beaten track.
Yeah.
Would you believe that totally brings us to the topic of this week?
179 episodes of this story arc would suggest quite likely.
You know what? Maybe I'll throw you for a curveball next week. Maybe. You don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know. Keeping it fresh.
We'll do the history of veganism.
Someone has just come out with a new study. They believe that Vlad the Impaler was a vegan.
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
But we'll get into that in another episode.
Yeah.
I can hear some angry incels just losing their boner as I say that. This week, you know what? We are going to give everyone something a little bit special. We're going to give them a little taste of Australia.
Oh.
Yes.
Vegemite sandwich.
Oh, right up the clacker.
Oh.
A little bit of Australia, a little even local just outside of Adelaide. This is where we live, where we record in South Australia. This week we walk the sleepy streets of Adelaide, South Australia, as we explore a delightful area.
Mm-hmm.
Full of tall trees, bushy shrubs, peaceful streams, and a human body stuffed in a tree.
Ah, I know this one.
Could this be a case of an area affecting its reputation, or a reputation affecting an area?
Oh.
In this week's episode of Dead Men Tell Terrible Tales.
Nice.
Or This Dead Man Shall Too Pass.
Very good.
Or You Gotta Know When to Hold Them. You Gotta Know When to Fold Them. The Dead Man's Pass of Gawler.
Nice. Good old Gawler. One of the most haunted places in Australia.
You know.
Yeah. I'll take my little EMF reader down there.
Oh, my Lord. When you get, like, turkey slapped in the face.
Yeah.
I was actually talking to a policeman today.
Yes.
About, I'm like, oh, like, if my friend and I were going to go, like, looking for, like, ghosts, like, in this particular area that I'm going to describe, I'm like, what are the chances of us being molested by crackheads?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it seems to be quite high.
Yeah. Yeah, this particular place has a bit of a cracky problem.
I was just started to like tell him about like the ghost, and he was already just shaking his head, just like, no, you will be a ghost.
Yeah.
But, you know, is it the crack or is it what's going on? Ooh.
Ooh.
Maybe it's the EMFs. Ooh. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Yeah. A party travelling across the uncharted wilds of South Australia.
So when we say uncharted, we mean by Europeans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm getting to.
Sorry. This is the problem with a podcast where I don't know what you're about to talk about. I'm always second-guessing you and shit.
I know. Where's the trust 179 episodes in?
Okay.
Fuck you. No, feel free
I'll just keep my mouth shut. You do the whole...
Just keep mansplaining. Whatever. No, but you raise a good point. Do you feel
I'm just trying to be correct. The Kaurna people of the Adelaide Plains.
I didn't think.
I'm fucking. We'll get to it.
Oh yeah, this is a lot about, you know, just like white dudes showing up, just literally just fucking shit up and ruining it for everybody.
Oh yeah.
Even before the crack arrives.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So the uncharted wilds of South Australia. Ooh. So this is the period, basically, the white guys come, they settle, they land on a boat, do a lot of shooty shoot, and then just like wander around the Australian outback, the hottest place they have ever been in their lives.
Yeah.
With 18 petticoats on, woolen shirts.
Yeah.
And handcrafted 200-pound clocks.
Yeah.
And no water.
And was it like an 18-foot dining table?
Yeah.
Something like that. We're talking about the doomed exhibition of Burke and Wills here.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like our most famous story of European fuckery.
Just fucking, oh, my God. There's a whole episode and just like,
oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
Just the dumbest shit.
Should we pack some provisions? Oh, I don't know. Yes, I'll have to lose my chaisois. Oh, no.
I mean, imagine these people. They packed something ridiculous like 400 pounds of sugar to do this trip.
Mm.
When they were trying to find the inland sea or like the shortcut to the top of Australia, which is like walking through fucking pure desert.
Yeah.
Like it'll kill you.
Yeah.
And they didn't plan on hunting and killing local animals.
Oh, well. Actually, it sounds like me. Literally just 500 pounds of sugar and
yeah.
We're just going vegan. We just need
tater
sugar.
Tots.
That's literally what I'm packing when we go camping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These fucking idiots went hungry instead of killing and eating kangaroos.
Yeah. Or just, do what fucking, what's that, you know, that Mawson, the Antarctic guy, didn't he eat a dude in his party?
They're dogs.
Oh, no, who's the one who's all like, no, my companion, I totally didn't eat him. He totally just got up and went, well, no, for the mission, and just left me there alone with the rest of the food and the supplies. I totally didn't eat him. You fucking ate him, man. We all know you fucking ate him. Like... history is eaten by the winner. Yeah. So don't just he just wandered off. So yeah, basically it's a lot of white dudes from England who are used to very much the green, wet fields.
Yeah, and ready game and salted meats and short distances between things.
Yes. Yes. Just like rocking up to Australia and just like, fuck, we're fucked. And then just proceeded to just die all over the place.
Yeah. But this isn't like an ancient problem. This still continues today. Like there are still like something like 30 or 40 overseas tourists every year that have to be rescued.
Yeah.
Because they don't take any water with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking.
I know. Yeah. Oh, my God. Actually, that's how you know the people from the city and the people from the country. Like as a country person, I've always got like that jug of water that's been in my car since the 80s because you just need it.
Yeah.
Anyway, they had no jugs of water whatsoever.
No.
And they would proceed to just die all over the place.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. So that was that time,
yeah.
What they were doing, just running around doing a lot of that. So these gentlemen had set up camp in a beautiful, peaceful and shaded area when something about a nearby gum tree caught their attention. Something wasn't... what was that? Something just didn't look right. As they moved their faces a little bit closer to the object that didn't look quite right, imagine their terror when they discovered the thing that was now inches from their face was the corpse of a human being stuffed into the hollow of a gum tree.
Yeah.
Just
stuffed in there.
Stuffed in the tree.
The tree is still there.
There was no marker. No clues as to the man's identity or why he was in a tree.
Now, this potential edit point here, so chastise me and we'll go back if I have done this. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about a party that we're exploring from the settlement of Adelaide, going to a place that, as far as they're aware, no white man has been, and they find a dead white man in a tree.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is, there's not just a person is like, oh, my God, there's a dead person in the tree. We should do something about that and then move on.
Yeah.
A lot of people keep going, fuck me, there's a dead dude in a tree, and then move on.
They just left it.
And leaving it for other people to come.
Wow.
Who had either had an idea or had no fucking idea.
Wow.
What about no fucking idea? Just out for a... Because obviously, you know, you've got like the, you know, you follow the body of water. So this people would come here and just, what the fuck?
Wow. It's very British though. Like, he doesn't want to be disturbed.
Just at some stage, take the fucker out.
Wow.
You keep crapping on about, oh, we're going to convert everyone to like, you know, Christianity. Give them a Christian burial maybe. In January of 1839, Colonel William Light, who designed the city of Adelaide.
Design is a fucking stretch. He drew a grid.
But come on, that was
Tron.
But that's groundbreaking for like all these cities that are like shit.
But it actually wasn't that groundbreaking for the day because everyone was starting to design cities and grids because they weren't medieval cities anymore. This was all part of colonial expansion. They're like, oh, we can actually fix this shit.
Yeah. I mean, just make it easy to like use the streets. Yeah. Oh, maybe we can make it so that you don't step directly from your bedroom onto the street of human waste.
Yeah. I mean, you can paint him as some kind of town planning revolutionary or just recognize the fact that he was probably autistic. And it was just like, no, grid. Everything's got to be straight and spaced. Can't have anything bigger than the last one.
Oh, my God. That's brilliant. That's the history that I choose to adopt from now on. Oh, my God. He was on an exploring expedition.
Oh.
Attempting to map out the best route to the River Murray with Boyle Travers Finesse. Ooh. It might be Finesse, but I choose to call it Finesse.
Oh, so these are people?
Yes, these are people.
Okay.
And he would actually go on to be the first Premier of South Australia.
Premier or Governor?
Whatever you call it.
I think it was Governor back then.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, now it's a Premier.
Okay,
He was the first one to do that.
Okay.
While exploring, they came to recognise a certain area that preceded itself with tales of a man found dead stuffed inside a gum tree. Can you imagine that's all you've heard about an area? Oh, my God. I hear there's just a dude dead, stuffed in a tree. Why? Fuck knows. Did you do anything? Fuck no. Had a look, took some selfies, moved the fuck along.
Yeah.
So they proceeded. They're like, oh, this tree looks a bit. Let's have a look in this tree.
Yeah.
And they found a man dead, stuffed inside the tree.
Oh.
This is an actual extract from Colonel William Light's diary.
Yep.
Okay. So they're like, oh, we're going to go look for a river. This is very important. Can we create cities? This is life and death for like, you know, like a whole people. Oh, my God, FYI, on the way, let's stop and look at the dead guy.
Yeah.
Having before heard of a dead body being buried and an old tree here, we examined the spot and found it.
Joy.
There is mystery in this affair as it has been kept a secret. The skull is large.
Oh.
And the flesh almost entirely gone. Part of his dress remained. They don't mean his dress.
No, his clothes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although, how brilliant would that
Wow, be? The first drag queen.
Yeah.
The first hate crime. Well, first non-Aboriginal hate crime.
Yeah. But just be like, oh, it's just modern civilization. GTA is turning the frogs gay. No.
We are religious freedom settlers. My religion is dance and disco.
Oh, my God. Him and Mr. Finesse. Oh. His trousers of corduroy.
Oh.
Again, you're in the Australian outback in 50-degree heat. Why are you wearing fucking corduroy? His corduroy seemed good as far as his knees.
They're giving him shit for wearing cutoffs.
Oh my God, to be honest, like if you found a dead body though, you'd be like, oh my God, it's really sad, until you pull back the sheet to reveal he's wearing jorts.
Jorts, yeah. Oh, this isn't such a tragedy. Clearly there was a Limp Bizkit concert here.
Oh my God. So his trousers of corduroy seemed good as far as his needs. But
yeah,
no, it's not because he was in little jaunty corduroys. Under those, much torn. His shirt on one part, and this is interesting because okay. This will go back to potential theories we'll discuss in a minute. One part of his shirt contained much coagulated blood.
Okay.
The body was covered over again, and some of his clothes packed up and conveyed to Adelaide.
Okay. What kind of forensics are they doing in 1839? That's what I want to know.
They were literally going to be like, yes, these are definitely brown corduroy jorts.
Put them on a witch and see if she floats.
So I think their idea was like, oh yeah, like they literally just cut off a tiny square of brown corduroy yeah. to take it back to Sydney to be like, does anyone recognise this piece of brown corduroy that all of our clothes are made from?
Some urchin from the gutter pipes up, you want to try Ernst & Son, famous jorts, jort maker to the king.
Tally-ho!
Jorts and jodpers.
Oh my God, jorts and genocide. So they were conveyed to Adelaide. His exploring companion noted in detail in his diary, Mr. Finesse, that the body was in an upright position and his body plastered with clay.
Oh.
Except for the toes, which had clearly been nibbled on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They called the tree Dead Man's Tree.
Nice. So I would have called it a man-witch tree.
Ah, that's nice. That's very good. The gruesome finding of the body stuffed in the tree would go down later as the first recorded, like, mentioning of the area now known as Gawler by white people.
Gawler's a beautiful little place. It just has, like, a serious underbelly.
Of people stuffed into trees.
Yeah, and, like, hauntings and fucking murders and shit. There's, like, a really high-profile murder trial from there at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Later that month, the South Australian newspaper wrote on the 16th of January, 1839, an article titled Suspicious Case.
Oh, there we go.
Don't leave any mystery or intrigue. Just suspicious.
Well, at least they're not using like Daily Mail style clickbait. We found a corpse in a tree. You'll never believe what happened next.
Yeah. Guess which famous celebrity... So this is from the news article. The body of a man buried some time ago in the bush to the northward was exhumed last week by a Colonel Light and Mr. Finesse.
Why are you doing a Texas accent for the state you're from?
That's not a Texas. That's like an old worldy journalist.
Not even. Yeah. That is a Texas fucking...
That is not Texas.
Okay.
It's just, oh my God, calm down, Walker.
Okay.
whilst these gentlemen were out on their surveying expedition, and it was found that the shirt, vest, and trousers of the deceased were stained with blood, and his pockets were turned inside out.
You can't even do an accent of your own people.
But it's ye old worldie.
Oh, you're just literally doing a Texan.
We don't sound the same as we did then.
We never sounded like Texans.
We don't. The clothes were brought into Adelaide for examination by the authorities, and we hope a strict investigation into the affair will be held. At the time of the reported death of this man in the bush, many months ago, no inquest was held, as there ought to have been, and we trust the coroner will not be allowed to neglect his duty. The problem is, pretty much people kept finding this poor fucker.
Yeah.
Going, oh my fucking God, there's a dead dude in a bush. And then just carried on.
Yeah, well, he's become a signpost at this
just
point,
like,
hasn't he?
Oh, just put a bit of bark in front of part of his face. And then just move on. And then somebody else will be like, oh, we should do something. So somebody's like, oh, we'll put some clay over him.
Oh, yeah, I suppose that's maybe what's happened. Someone's just kind of spackled him in there.
Oh, no, somebody had at one stage because, like, people were like, oh, my God, there's a dead body. And then the next time they're like, oh, my God, there's like, and he's covered in clay. Because someone was like, oh, we should do something.
It'd be a good Christian burial, but I'm very lazy.
We don't want to take him with us because he'll be a bit smelly. Oh, you know what? We totally just like threw some mud in there to preserve him. So we're not shit people, all right?
Either that or it was somebody else from the drag club who's just like, oh, my God, his skin. Get that clay mask on him.
Ah, work that in. Oh, Lord. So the future state governor went on to tell the tale or urban legend of just how this body ended up in the tree.
Right.
When it was first found in a tree,
yeah,
people had no idea that there was going to be a dude in a tree.
No.
Then later on, some people who had passed through the area after it had been revealed that there was a dead dude in the tree went, yeah, we should have totally all told you about that thing that happened. This is not suspicious. Yeah. We didn't do anything wrong, but this is totally what happened. And we just forgot to tell you. It slipped our minds.
Yeah.
Essentially, they claimed that, you know, they were, you know, just a group of white men again, just, you know, trekking through Australia.
Yeah.
And they were innocently just going about their business, looking for a nice, you know, travel route. When this unknown gentleman that they'd never seen before staggered out of the like shrubbery.
I like how the dog just provided some old-timey radio play sounds.
Yeah, thank you, Jack. Well, cute. So he just sort of came out. Oh no! And flopped down in front of them like And they were like, oh, no, there's just some poor defenseless dude.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, no, we totally put him on the back of our wagon and we totally gave him food and water and, you know, bathed his wounds and everything and, you know, sung him lullabies and he was totally fine.
Yeah.
But then, oh, the next time we checked on him, like a day later, he was totally just dead.
Oh.
Like, we don't know how that happened. Totally not related to us. We didn't just kill someone and then steal their shit. We didn't just find and, you know, like bugger some guy in the bush because that's what creepy white dudes wandering around the outback would do.
I've got to be honest. That's one of my greatest fears is meeting another creepy white dude in the outback.
Mm.
Nothing good's coming of that. Nothing good.
So then they claim, oh, no, he totally just, like, just died. Like, oh, after we had, like, nurtured him so well and, you know, like, hush, little baby. But he still died.
Human life was like a herb garden back then, though. Like, you know, just looking at it wrong one way and just gone. Toothache, dead. Yeah. Headache, dead. Childbirth, dead.
Woman trying to vote, dead. But then they said, oh, so like he died. But what do you know? between us and of our whole expedition of people traveling through a land that we have never been through before, we had no tools on
None.
Us. Not even a little hand shovel. We had nothing. So we weren't able to bury a grave for him.
No.
Not that we did anything suspicious. So we're like, oh, no, not one of us has a tool. Not even a shovel for taking a shit and burying it.
Not even a pot to piss in.
Like, you have a fry pan. You can use that as a digging implement.
Yeah.
You've got sticks. You've got a rock. You've got two hands, fucker.
Yeah.
There are many things you can use.
Yes.
As a digging implement.
Also, it's Gawler. There's a river. There's river stones. Just pile up some rocks.
There you go. But they were like, oh, no, 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 we had nothing, possibly. We couldn't bury him. So we just shoved him in a tree.
It's like, quick, the landlord's coming over. Hide the cat.
Yeah, funk. In a pot. I said, oh, it's just my PSP. Don't mind that. That was their excuse.
Wow.
Just popped him in a tree.
Just popped him in a tree.
Just popped him in a tree. It'd be fine.
The way the Lord wanted it.
They said they did this because they're the good guys in this situation. They did it because he didn't want him to be eaten by dogs.
Oh, what a bunch of champions.
You mean some dogs that, you know, dig holes?
Yeah, dig holes or really fucking like trees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like put your river stones on the body. You know, there's, you know, or his idea, burn him.
Yeah.
Just so many options.
To be fair, it's pretty fucking hard to burn a corpse.
Well.
You need a lot of heat.
No, that's not true. As Armin Muse proved, the simplest thing in the world to burn is a white man's dick.
Oh, yes, if you're trying to cook it to a culinary standard. If you are trying to dispose of a corpse, just ask Jeffrey Dahmer. It's very fucking hard.
Well, no, they're not trying to disturb it. They're just trying to be like, fuck you, wolves. You know?
Wolves here.
Why you just. Okay, they were white men in the 1700s. They didn't know that.
No, no.
But no, let's just stuff him in a tree.
Yeah, that's pretty ordinary.
Everything about that is suspicious. Like in history, a couple of stories, like we have researched one where there was that young girl that was like murdered by that like pedo and he stuffed her in a tree.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why you stuff people in the tree, because you're a creepy sex pervert.
Yeah.
And then there's like another woman in England that we'll do in another episode. She was found in a tree, up a tree.
Yeah.
Sex perverts.
Sex perverts.
They're the only one putting people in trees in this manner.
What other kind of perverts are there? Literary perverts?
Yes.
Construction perverts? I don't know.
Consensual perverts.
Nothing wrong with being a consensual pervert
at
all.
Fine. Yeah. No, I'm just, I'm, this is where I'm, it's a consensual pervert, it's fine. But when you're like sex pervert.
Yeah.
Nobody is consenting to that.
No.
They're the people who bury your corpse in a tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking perverts. It's also interesting because then if you listen to some of like the latest, and of course this is the problem, this poor fucker then became like a sightseeing. Everyone who went past was like having
Come
a look.
Come on, kids, get on the wagon. We go look at the tree corpse.
But then like, you have like the later descriptions where people say, oh, like his shirt looked like it was covered in blood. Oh, as if some sex pervert had stabbed him, cleaned out his pockets, molested him, blah, blah, and then put the evidence in a tree.
Your molestation noise is surprisingly compelling.
That's how it happens.
There you go. That's the new. That's my ringtone. Whenever you ring. Oh, it's the sex pervert.
Excuse me. I clearly announce every time I come to your front door that I am not a sex pervert.
That is true.
All right. Thank you very much. I will not be insulted. So he goes on telling the story. So these are these people. This is their story. So why there was a guy. They totally didn't kill him, totally didn't steal his stuff, totally didn't touch his wang.
Everyone touched the corpse wang.
Everyone. It's like when people would come up and kiss the Blanny stone, you'd come up and you'd just like shake the dead man's wang. three times for luck.
I went to Gawler and all I got was this.
Dead man's wang.
Dead man's wang in my hand.
I'm never washing that. I'm never washing that, Mary. Has touched a dead man's wang.
Go it's on, good kids. Luck. For good, we're going to have a good season on the farm this year. Go and shake the fucking wang, the tree wang, for good luck. Go on, kids.
Oh, my God, it was a simpler time. It was a simpler time.
Find the parish priest out there vigorously shaking the tree wang.
Dressed up like a tree. Father! Oh, my God. Oh, 100%. Oh, my God. This poor fucker.
Yeah.
So Mr. Finesse goes on in his diary. This is the urban myth that he's heard about the man.
Yeah.
The dead man was supposed to have been a sailor, escaped from some ship off Port Gawler. He had lost himself in the scrub in his endeavour to reach Adelaide and thus perished miserably.
What a fucking terrible place to jump ship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
In your corduroy slacks.
Yeah. Because there's only a couple of places. They're going to find you.
Oh, my God. So that was the urban myth that he heard. It was just this big, rugged sailor man.
Yeah.
Yeah. You choose to believe what you,
yeah.
What you hear. So then they move on and pretty much the body remains unchanged for the next 30 years.
Oh.
People just leave the fucker in a tree.
Wow.
Just. And then, of course, then it's the problem. People are just like, oh, there's a dead dude in the tree. And then people forget which tree it is.
Yeah.
So all people knew was that one of the trees around Gawler had a dead dude in it.
And this is the thing. Australia is very competitive when it comes to small town parochialism.
Mm.
One town's got a dead dude in a tree. Another town needs two dead guys in a tree.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, you got the big pineapple.
Yeah, exactly. But the other thing that I find interesting is like you – there are so many like – I guess, again, it's one of those things. Again, there's a lot of – it was a time when, you know, literacy levels were not exactly at their peak.
Yeah.
Not everyone could like read and write. There was a lot of oral stories. That's how stuff was passed around.
Yeah.
So there are like 50 different versions – of like the origin story of this. And there's some parts where they're very similar and then obviously there's the parts where they, you know, differ. But what the other thing that I find really interesting is so obviously, yeah, you have these people and they're like, oh, no, there was just a man from the scrub. He staggered in and then died gently and we put him in a tree.
Yeah.
And then there are other people who are like, no, 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 we saw the shirt and there was clearly, you know, blood all over the shirt.
Yeah.
You know, like the scoundrel had been blah, blah, molested by a knife.
Mm.
I have another theory.
Okay.
And this has not been mentioned in anything else. So this is my crazy theory. This is not a dead man in the tree. There was some weird ass fucking sex pervert running around Gawler.
Yeah.
Who was killing and molesting multiple people and shoving them into trees. And these people, that's why their stories are slightly differ because, yeah, you did find a dead dude in a tree. Maybe they're different dead dudes.
Maybe.
I'm just putting it out there.
It's entirely possible.
Just some like fucker is all like, who's just escaped out into like the, you know, the bushland.
South Australia has, well, since white colonisation, has always had weird sex murders.
Yeah. It's all started the genesis from this guy.
Could be.
Fucking weird tree fucker guy.
He's the guy who ironically planted the seed.
Ew, I feel dirty.
Where?
Yeah. So the body remained, well, one of the bodies remained unfound for the next 30 years.
This is what I like. Did anyone think to ask the Kaurna people who like know every inch of this land? Like, did anyone think to ask them? They were just.
I'm sorry. For a minute, I thought you said recognize the indigenous people. Oh, that's so funny. Oh, you had me going there, my laddie. give them rights. Next, you'll be letting them vote.
Same people that had to fucking save Burke and Wills.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, no, nobody did that.
Yeah.
They were just like, oh, he's around here somewhere. Oh, we'll do something. Maybe. So he stayed there for 30 years. The area was now referred to as Dead Man's Pass.
Yeah, still is.
Word got out. But people either didn't realise or choose not to ask any questions, as just let's not really look into what happened or where he is, you know.
Yeah.
Until 1869, the local Bunyip paper reported on council workers making a rather shocking discovery of a human skull and bones.
Now, let's just be clear.
In a tree.
The newspaper is called the Bunyip.
Yes.
It was started by the Gawler Humbug Society and it is named after a mythical monster of the Kaurna people.
Yes.
A river-dwelling river monster.
Yes.
That is the town's newspaper.
There's a lot of complicated layers to that story.
Still going today.
On Tuesday last, as the workmen employed on the cutting at the lower end of Murray Street were taking away the earth, they unwittingly disturbed the resting place of some relics of humanity. I love it. It went on to say, the incompleteness of the skeleton is accounted for by the fact that between the time of the body being deposited in the tree and its subsequent discovery, wild dogs had discovered and feasted upon it.
Oh, feasted upon it.
But most of it was there.
I'm guessing that feast was really just one of them going, like at a toe.
And just being like, oh, it's all dirty.
Oh, it tastes like corduroy.
The bones were taken to a Dr. Nutt.
Dr. Nutt?
Nutt. Who examined the bones and concluded that due to the large size of the thigh bones.
How do you spell Dr. Nutt? Is the sex pervert silent?
He concluded after vigorously rubbing the thigh bone for some time until it pushed the marrow out, he concluded that the thigh bone had been of a very tall and powerful European man.
Oh, a powerful European man. I love how this can't possibly be indigenous. It's tall and powerful. Cut to 180 years later, no white guy's good at football.
Oh, my God. But it's like, don't autopsy for the corpse you have. Autopsy for the corpse you want.
Jesus was white, don't you know?
Just stroking his thigh bone. Oh, no inquest was ever held. Newspaper reports say that the bones were buried in Gawler's Cemetery, now known as Pioneer Park.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's a story about how they basically went over an entire cemetery to make that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Around July 1901, Dead Man's Pass would welcome its arms to another guest.
Oh.
The Advertiser newspaper reported on the following day, the Gawler drowning case.
Oh.
That's literally the headline.
Okay.
I'm going to read this whole article.
Okay.
An inquest was held at the Gawler courthouse on Saturday to inquire into the mysterious death from drowning of the lad.
The lad.
The lad. Anton Johann Link. Which occurred on Friday last. Blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Emma Link, wife of John Link, and mother of deceased, said she sent her son to the railway station between 9:30 and 10 on the previous morning to get a parcel for a neighbour who gave him... Look, it says 3D.
Threepence.
Ah, is that what that is?
I imagine so, yeah.
There's a three and a little D.
Well, what would D be? That'd be, see, I don't know, pre-decimal currency. Mm.
So I see, I just saw 3D and I'm like, that's inappropriate for child.
Let's go with threepence.
Okay. He said he would not be long. So this is the, so they're talking to the mother. She used to punish him when he deserved it and never heard him make any threats. He left home by himself. He often complained of his head and teeth after operations through taking chloroform.
Oh.
So here's a whole backstory.
Holy shit.
He had been to the river once or twice and she had beat him for it.
Oh.
This is the newspaper story.
Yeah.
On someone that's just died.
Yeah. This is 1901.
And she would beat him for it. She did not know whether or not he could swim.
Oh, man.
You're his mother. You should probably know.
They probably didn't have Oz swim back then.
Teach him.
Yeah, teach him.
Oh, my God. When you're not giving him chloroform, take him for a swim. blah, blah, blah. So, you know, then it's just going on. Yes, you know, someone else found his clothes on the bank of the river near Dead Man's Pass. He reported it to PC Schnickerdick.
Really? You're not yourself when you're hungry. Have a Schnickerdick.
Boom! Oh, my God. Okay, so they went down to the river, obviously, where they found his clothes by the river. Someone had seen him heading with two other boys around his age, heading in the direction of an area known as the Black Hole.
Oh, my God. Okay, yep.
Yeah. Andrew McKay, so that's the eyewitness, said he went to the river and PC Schnickerdick asked if someone would go in. He went in and found the body in about 4 or 5 feet of water. Now, this is... Oh. Someone else said, yes, they knew the deceased. They remembered seeing his mother thrashing him.
Oh!
Thrashing him about 2 months ago. On that occasion, the deceased came out crying and said loud to his mother that she would thrash him once too often and he would go and drown himself in the black hole.
Oh.
They told that the witness... A witness said that on two other occasions, the deceased had screamed the same declaration to his mother.
Wow.
And then ironically just went for a bit of a swim at the black hole and drowned.
Oh, dude.
I'm it's like the boy that cried wolf. That's just one of the things. Don't throw that out into the universe.
Yeah.
Because... Oh, yes. So he had drowned in the river. This is again, so this is near Dead Man's Pass.
Yeah.
On October the 8th, 1901, so this is a few months later.
Yeah.
Dead Man's Pass welcomed another permanent guest.
Right.
The Register newspaper reported the following day, fatality at Gawler.
Oh.
Padraic Condon, about 61 years of age.
Right.
Little bit of research, I'm just saying. About 61 years of age and employed by the Gawler Corporation, met with a fatal accident last night. He was out... Oh, he was out with a night cart.
Oh, no.
For our listeners at home who don't know what a night cart is, it's literally a cart filled with human shit.
Yeah.
Basically everything that people would put into their, like, waste pans, because obviously there wasn't a sewer system.
There was no sewer system, no.
So you would have your pans with all your literal human shit. And then that would all go into the night cart. And then he would take it off and usually burn it.
burn it, or yeah, take it out into a field, spread just it.
Dump it.
Yeah. Throw it in a river.
Throw it in a river. Well, yeah, I know. It could be. So he had a cart filled with human shit.
Yeah.
Was traveling by Dead Man's Pass. He was found the next morning. So he was out at night.
Oh, man.
He was out in the morning near Dead Man's Pass. Oh, wait for it. Pinned under the night cart.
Oh, no.
Which had fallen over the embankment.
Oh, no.
Pinning him underneath. And he was found upside down under the night cart and its contents.
Oh, what a way to go.
He died soon afterwards.
Thank fuck.
But the thing is, he was alive for a bit.
Yeah.
He was alive long enough to be as a cart full of human shit.
Yeah, a wooden cart.
Catapulted towards his face.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, you're dead, dude, but this is literally the worst fucking way to go.
This is ruined Back to the Future for me.
So not only has he seen all of the human shit come at him, he's lived through that. He's lived through the human shit hitting him. Yeah. He's then been alive just lying in the human shit for a bit.
That's pretty fucked.
For an undisclosed amount of time.
What happened to the horse? That's what I want to know.
There's no mention of the horse, so I think the horse was fine.
God damn it.
Yeah. Oh, seriously, is there a worse way to go?
No, there's really not.
That's a new fear. Yeah. I didn't know being crushed under a night cart was that was a possibility of going. I don't want to go that way.
Yeah, and kids these days would have no idea that literally their grandparents used to shit into a bucket. Yeah, and it was picked up by a guy with a fucking horse and he would just empty the shit out of the bucket and stick the bucket back in to your what was called a thunderbox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he would run the risk that that cart would overturn on him.
Yeah. Oh, that's horrific.
He left, didn't stop him getting any action though. He left a widow and several children.
Several smelly children.
Down at the pool. Once more, he's dropped his kids off at the pool.
Can you imagine when the town finally got a sewage system and he's the one person protesting? Think about the jobs.
Think of the children. Oh, Lord. People have experienced all manner of unusual experiences. There is another fatality. In 1927, this was reported in the Advertiser, Friday, June the 24th. Mm-hmm. And I love it because I did it. Here's all the headings. You've got like sporting news and the much smaller writing for fatalities and accidents.
It's amazing.
Just so much smaller than the sporting news.
Newspaper typography was such a fucking random thing.
And actually, it gets so sporting news and then football gets a whole other column by itself as well. And something, it just says Ruddy Gore.
Fair enough.
I didn't even ask. So what they did is they put a like a walkway, like a walk bridge over the river at Gawler.
Yes.
And basically, it was basically just, it was a few wires.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is in 1927. This is, and so they had like, you know, the fatalities and the accidents. Everybody gets their own little headline and the little blip.
Yep.
You want to know what this guy's headline was?
No, it can't be worse than crushed to death by a shit cart.
Cut throat and a broken leg.
Oh.
If you've got a cut throat, do you really give a fuck about your leg at this stage?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. So we've got a swing bridge that's pretty much just three wires.
Yeah.
Just get across it and move along.
The sort of thing you normally make a celebrity do for charity.
Mm.
Yeah.
Exactly. Nope. Not if you're this man. Not if you're Mr. Bald. Mr. Bald decided to just, you know, have a bit of a think in the middle of the swinging bridge. So while leaning over the swing bridge at Dead Man's Pass,
yeah,
on Tuesday evening, Mr. J. Bald of Gawler South fell over the railing onto the bank of the Little Para River, presumably where he broke his leg.
Yes.
But that's not the dramatic bit.
Right.
And he did not fall directly from the bridge. He didn't just go from the bridge to the river.
Yeah.
On the way down, his jaw came in contact with the wires of the bridge.
Oh.
And he sustained a severe wound in the throat.
Oh, man.
He was taken to High Street Private Hospital, where it was found that he was also suffering from a fractured leg.
You'd assume so.
So I think pretty much it's like a wire has got him like from the jaw and one's got him on the throat.
Oh.
And it's pretty much almost just like ripped off his lower jaw.
Oh, Christ.
And it's the throat, in like apparently it was so bad it almost took his head off.
Oh, God.
It was how deep the slash was. The paper notes his condition is serious.
Oh, really?
You fucking think so?
Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
Good old advertiser.
Mm-hmm. So, again, this is down by Dead Man's Pass.
Wow.
But people have experienced all manner of unusual experiences while in Dead Man's Pass. Not just these. People have reported shadowy people and wispy figures following them.
Yeah.
And we're not just talking about the crackheads.
No, no, no.
Some people have even reported having seen unseen entities grab their legs.
Oh.
Or people being touched by an unseen force from behind. That is the sex pervert.
That's the sex pervert.
That is the spirit of the sex pervert. The Kaurna Aboriginal people lived in this area for thousands of years before the white settlers.
Mm-hmm.
And it was regarded by the Indigenous people as an important area for the dreaming and their storytelling.
Yes.
And there's a lot of caves around the area where there's actually a lot of paintings.
Yes.
So, and it also, it reminds me, remember when we were talking about Uluru?
Yeah.
And obviously, I mean, Uluru was Uluru because, you know, they felt it was a strong area. There was a connection with the ancestors.
Yeah.
And people have reported the same thing when they're walking around Uluru. People have that sensation of, you know, seeing shadows of figures or people walking behind them,
yeah,
when they're around Ayers Rock. So considering that this is also sort of was seen as an important area, I can see the correlation between those two stories.
I got a couple of Aboriginal friends and you talk to them from this area. You talk to them about what their connection is like, and it is quite compelling the way they describe their connection to country and the spiritualism of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it makes sense when it's like, you know, this is, you know, an important area for, you know, storytelling and that. Yeah, because there is something happening in that area, which could explain why, you know, people feel the spirits of entities and ghosts in this area as well. Excuse me. Ghost encounters have been included and carried over through the years, through the decades, even to now in Gawler. People, you know, feel being grabbed. There's one gentleman who wrote a description from 1969 who says, not only are there ghosts at Gawler, but the ghosts of Gawler saved his life.
Really?
Mm-hmm. In 1969, so this is a direct story from a person. I've just done the main bits. I've taken out all the twaddle about when I was young and we'd play and we'd drink from a hose.
Yeah.
Having lived in Gawler for a few years at the time, I was 10 years old, full of life and busy being a 10-year-old boy with his mates, riding our bicycles around the town and close surrounds. investigating whatever we liked. No harm was ever done to anyone or anything. Just kids being kids in a worry-free existence.
Nice.
Yeah. We knew nothing of the dead man's past or its legend.
Yep.
Myself and friend Tony were riding at a brisk pace down one side of the gully as we'd done hundreds of times before.
Yes.
So you know what it's like when you get your bike, you've got those same sweet spots.
Oh, yeah.
Your special hills.
Yeah.
Woo!
Napperby Reservoir for me.
Oh, yep. Nice. Just big fucking hill.
Yeah.
Broken hill, that's the advantage of growing up. It's all fucking hills.
Yeah.
Myself and friend Tony were riding at a brisk pace down one side of the gully as we'd done hundreds of times before with no incident. On this particular day, I was getting an overpowering message in my ear to go right. Go right. Go right. I'd always gone around the medium blind to the left on our way to the shops. Sorry, to the lefts is that way.
Yeah.
I was worried because I knew I had way too much speed to go right. I must stick true to what I know and go left with Tony. But we were two abreast and I was getting awfully near the center line of the road. And even if I do go left, I'm going to end up on the wrong side of the road. A quick glance at everything and just bugger it. I just had to go right.
Okay.
Knowing full well I had no hope of making the bend. I heard a clear enough, good boy.
Okay.
In my ear and crash. I hit the curb. The bike went straight into a post at full speed and I went sailing through the air, it seemed like forever, and into a big gum tree. So at this point, you're like, shit work, ghosts.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to kill this 10-year-old boy? I thought I must be dead after that bingle. I looked up and saw a figure standing over me with a lady alongside him.
Right.
The man simply said, you're lucky to be alive, lad. And the lady said, take heed, boy. You only get one chance like this. As I got myself back onto my feet, Tony arrived to where I was with my busted up bike in tow. After the concerns about my bike, I asked him where the old couple went. And I told him about what they had said to me.
Yeah.
Tony told me the only person he saw was the car that just about took me out on the corner.
Right.
The car stopped briefly to see me get up and moved on. Tony said if I had kept going around and had gone left, as we had done every time, I certainly would have had a head-on collision with the car.
Oh.
There was only gravel between where I had come off and I had quite a mangled bike, but there was not a scratch on me.
Oh.
I didn't even feel it when the bike hit the tree, which Tony witnessed. Softest landing I'd ever had.
Okay.
The tree turned out to be the same tree that a man and his family were buried by from back in the day.
Oh.
That's my experience at the Dead Man's Pass.
What a helpful ghost. What a helpful old ghost.
No, but I find that really interesting. There was once when I was living in Melbourne and I was working in a bar, you know, and so, you know, you'd finish at whatever hours. Anyway, so you'd come home and you know all your shortcuts to go home. Anyway, there was this one bit where I could take a shortcut like through this lane.
Yeah.
And it was a trip that I had done, like, you know, I would do like four times a week at all times in the morning. Never had a problem. Never, you know, I never worried about it. But I remember just this one time I got up and I could see like the laneway up ahead.
Yeah.
And just something in my head was just, don't go that way.
Yeah.
Just don't go that way. Just go the other way, which was a longer way and would take me like longer. And I'm like, oh God, like why would I do that? I'm just tired. I just want to go home. I want to get to bed.
Yeah.
But just as I was getting like closer, I just was just like, nah, don't go that way. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. So I just went the other way, got home fine. There was like no drama whatsoever. But I don't know. Maybe there could be someone, something looking out for you.
Could be some connecting tissue in the universe.
Who knows?
And just think, how many of these helpful spirits are caught in dream catchers?
Oh, oh my God.
Like a turtle in a fishing net.
Well, so that's because like when people always, you know, think of areas and like, oh, there's like there's ghosts and there's an energy, people always automatically assume that it has to be like negative and dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's an incident of no, that's not. It doesn't have to be. So, you know, maybe clearly there is a powerful energy. The indigenous people felt that energy. That's why it was an important area to them.
Yeah. And they treat some of those energies as guides.
And then, you know, whitey's just like show up with no fucking water or drinking supplies, getting molested in the woods, just die.
And stuck in a tree.
And then their energy is like, you know, caught up in the same area. So
there you go.
It's quite interesting. Yeah, to this day, Dead Man's Pass is a park reserve with walking and cycling trails.
It's quite pretty.
Yeah, it's very pretty. A lot of people on meth, though.
Yeah, well.
As
meth people like nature too.
Well, and I don't want to deny it to them. But if they're spending so much time out in nature and the fresh air, why do they look all so fucked up?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, the irony.
There's very few vitamins in meth.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. Oh, my God. Maybe that marketing idea.
Hey.
Hey, vitamin D meth.
Yeah, prime meth.
Get your B12. Oh, my God. So, yeah, I don't know. I find it interesting. I feel bad for however many people were killed by a sex predator around Gawler in the early 1800s and stuffed in trees. I guess we'll never know how many people are out there.
That is true.
Oh, but next time you go out into the woods, hopefully you won't meet a sex pervert. Hopefully you'll find a Mothman.
And just remember. Oh, no, finish. I was too busy.
Spoken like a true Mothman. He's a true Mothman. Eat the carpet.
Sorry, I was too busy looking for ghosts with my ghost detector.
Oh, have you picked up anything?
No, nothing.
Oh, my God. We should go to Gawler. Maybe we just drive through it with the windows down so the crackheads can't get us and just stick that out. Someone will offer to suck it for like a bag of meth.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just remember, the dick doesn't go in a tree. It goes in the bin.
Just bury it.